Good morning, Richard, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Smashy Business, Day 2, Web Summit Qatar 2024.
I feel like we're on an adrenaline rush, Richard.
Yeah.
There's so much going on, so many panels, so many things to do. There's not even enough time.
There's not enough time.
No,
yesterday was jam-packed, wasn't it? And when we're publishing a lot of content and when we're also trying to represent what's happening and then trying to get a flavor of it, and you know, yesterday was our first day, so we've a better sense of it now. We knew where to go, we knew where the booth was, we know where the media area is. But what was your impression of day one of them?
My impression was that none of the publications are here. I didn't see anyone from the local publications. I think we've been doing a great job. Just a little dig at them, Richard. It's always
I met the guy
fun.
Mohammed Bittar from This Is Qatar. He's a young entrepreneur, he's doing a good job here. Doha News are quite prevalent at the other areas, but and there was the media area is busy. There was people from Forbes and from other publications as well.
Did you see any from Dubai though? I didn't see any.
From Entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's true. Abby was here. Abby is great though. Let's not.
I didn't see that many. You know what? I was commenting on the way in this morning. I heard a lot of Irish accents, and I think it's quite interesting, right? Like.
The Web Summit is from Dublin, guys. Yeah, just a quick reminder.
Yeah, and I mean like Irish accents on like ushering people and helping people and assisting people and at the welcome registration areas. Not Irish accents as entrepreneurs who are looking to enter the Middle East. And what's interesting is even though the Web Summit is purely international now, they still employ their main database, the main hundreds or thousands of people in Dublin year in, year out. And what they do is like they do programming all year round. And if you see the Web Summit website now, it's like, and even the PPC Google ads is book tickets for 2025. Like it's, they're on conveyor belt. They go from one to another. And the in the middle of the main stage, there's music in the background. Now the screen is in April, we're in Rio, right? And then, so they're pushing the next one all the time.
Are you going to the next one?
I'm not going to Rio, but I will go to Qatar next year, inshallah.
You don't have to go to Rio, Richard. You can just send me there.
No problem. Off you go.
Off you go. Just don't come back.
Just smashy in the Spanish, Hispanic lunch. Yeah.
Exactly. But no, you know what? We spoke to Fadi Ghandour yesterday. Ronaldo Mshahwar was on stage speaking. We had Queen Rania speak as well. We spoke to Rabia from Bait and Abdullah, who acquired Bottom. It was a great day for us yesterday.
It was excellent. And both of those latter interviews that you mentioned will be on this episode. So coming up in this episode, we're obviously going to talk about the news, but we're also going to let you listen to Abdullah Sheikh from CEO of Bottom now, and also Rabia Tia from Bait.
Rabia, I think, it was, they were both really interesting interviews. But let's start with Fadi. Fadi still got that same, raw, opinionated personality. He just goes up on stage and he says whatever the hell he wants to say, basically. And besides our interview yesterday on stage, he said, Silicon Valley CEOs need to stop telling us here in the region what to do. He said, just stop talking. Just stop.
I think, it's what we were trying to capture is that, like, the region is indigenous. There's lots of different talents. And Fadi said it brilliantly on this podcast yesterday that we don't need your talents. Like, we don't need, we'll invest here. We don't want to do it alone. We want to work with the world and globe, and we want to be open for investments and for collaborations. And also,
but he said, you can't just take our money. We want to be respected. We can build and invest in our own startups. But that was the main line, is we want to be respected.
Totally. And but you know what, Lubna, like, I think if the region was closed-minded, then it would be protectionist. That was the word I was looking for in the show last week about some countries. You know, like, you can protectionist means, like, you know, French companies above all are made in America or whatever. And that would mean, like, boycotting US software or global SaaS products. But we don't do that. I was walking around yesterday and I saw a company called Vult. Mm-hmm. E-commerce and website management software, a bit like Wix or a bit like, you know, a mix of Shopify and Wix or whatever. So, and they're an Egyptian startup. They've been around 5 years. They have 100,000 users. And 5 years ago, there weren't, at any of these conferences, there weren't SaaS companies made in Arabia.
True.
SaaS, right? Like, and it's a whole sector of, it's what gets funding, right? Whether it's in fintech or health insurance or everything's a SaaS, recurring subscription, software as a service, and we just see more and more of them, and the more the merrier.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That was the main theme, Richard, yesterday at the Web Summit. Ronaldo Mshahwar, co-founder of Souq, also spoke on stage, and the same topic came up. And, you know, when we were talking to Fadi about Souq, we mentioned that actually it was off the record yesterday. But, you know, I asked him, do you think Souq and Kareem made mistakes by selling out? And he said, well, everyone is saying that, but, you know, nobody was giving them the funding that they needed when they needed it, right? So anyway, Ronaldo on stage also said, this region is moving fast and it's our time to shine. Basically, in a nutshell, he said, I meet many government bodies often here, and there's always this embracement, like, there is not like, okay, let's wait, let's, you know, wait around. I think it's good for us, and hopefully many startups will find this region attractive to them, and they will be welcome. And he was talking about the region embracing AI. He did say, however, that we lack the data and infrastructure that's been built or established over a long time in the Western world. But because of that, because of the current fragmented systems that we still have, users may not have adopted some of the technologies. Either they're too old or don't have access to them. So now it's being made simpler and less expensive, and they will adapt the technology faster. But he also said, we can still create products for those consumers who have not adapted to that technology. And that leads me to our second interview that we did yesterday. It's exactly what this guy did. His name is Abdullah Abu Sheikh. He's really making a name for himself. He acquired Bottom, which was just for free calls and video. We still don't have Skype here, you know, still. Turned out to be a good thing. So it's a local brand now, Bottom. It was US-based, but primarily for the UAE, basically. He's turning it into an ultra app. You can do everything from send money, remittances, basically. And he's also introducing Arabic GPT to help people use the app.
Yeah. It's great. That was one of the, you know, the trending speakers yesterday, the kind of topics where the moment for AI was also a huge area. And he was on our flight on the way over, the Tabby CEO and founder, Hussam Arab.
Yeah.
So he talked about building the goals. First fintech unicorn. There's a huge section on space, the next frontier of tech innovation. Sarah Sabri, an astronaut and founder and CEO of DSpace Initiative, spoke. There was a section on, I attended a talk. There's a lot of sort of the Supreme Legacy Committee for the legacy of the World Cup. Qatar is obviously doing a lot of things here, and Sheikh Ali Al-Walid Al-Thani, the CEO of Invest Qatar, spoke on the back of that fund as well. So yes. Invest Qatar is doing a lot. And Amal Inan from Partner at 500 Global said that India is the place to invest in as well. So, but going back to what you were mentioning about Arabic, ChatGPT and AI, like AI is the buzzword, right? Everything is looking at AI. People are investing in AI. And it's great to see companies doing that as well.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? He kind of went for the banks yesterday. He said Emirates NBD. Well, I brought it up, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And you guys can listen to it in the interview after this. But he said Emirates NBD did a bad job with... Remember that robot woman? What was she called? Liv or something like that before they introduced the car? Yeah. Everyone was complaining about that. This is a guy who partnered... through Bottom, partnered with MasterCard to give unbanked people debit cards and unbanked people a way to make transactions, right? Because with Emirates NBD, you do need, I think, what is the minimum to get a debit card? Is it 5,000 that you need to have in your card? You know, a lot of people don't make enough to keep 5,000 as the minimum balance in their cards.
Yeah.
He got 100,000 requests for that, and MasterCard told him that they've never gotten a request for that. Like, this is a guy who's looking at the region, looking at what people need. He said, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I want to give people what they need. I want to do the boring stuff.
Yeah, he did. That was a point that he made, that, you know, let's give them what they need now. Almost like how Hassan Sheikh Mohammed does in Dubai. Like, let's give them what they need now. Like, when you asked him about crypto, he said, well, if he feels his customers needs Web3 crypto transactions and token economy, he'll do that. But right now they need remittance payments. They need to be banked, right? Yeah.
But you know, he's very well connected. Let's keep that in mind. It's not easy to do something like that. And it's not easy to get around the regulations. And he did mention that he got a lot of pushback from the banks. So
the thing is though, like we spoke to another entrepreneur yesterday and they kind of said, hey, don't go hard on this. Like, don't say about losses and stuff like that. But Fadi did also said that, you know, people need to be responsible about fundraising and profits. And both of them did invest a lot at the start. They hired a lot of big talent, Korean people, like big brands from Adidas, and those people are no longer in the company, you know. And I think that can be a bit uncertain, especially, you know, if you move a family and move them to Qatar or Dubai or Saudi, and 3 months later, someone comes in from the board or from the VC or from finance and just strips out a whole department, it leaves a lot of people up in the air. And, and you know, like that happens, right? And I think that's happened at Botum, right? We haven't really gone into it, but like I know people who were in big roles there from other companies that are no longer there all of a sudden.
Absolutely. Did you watch that movie Up in the Air?
No.
It's with, God, I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah, I know what
George
you mean.
George Clooney, sorry.
Yeah.
So George Clooney, yeah, and he goes around firing people, and that's his job, basically. and he does it in such an inhumane, robotic way. And then, anyway, it's a great movie to watch, but I just mentioned it because I was wondering, after all of these tech layoffs, you know, that we've seen happen around the world, I was wondering if we would bump into people looking for jobs or giving out their CVs or whatnot at the Web Summit. And there was literally a guy outside selling some kind of machine as we were entering. I don't know if you noticed him, Richard, but he was just standing there with a sign selling machine. I love that hustle, though. It's really such an exciting, you know, vibe and atmosphere here at the Web Summit. One more thing that Abdullah said yesterday is you should be worried for your jobs. AI is coming for your job. You mentioned that a couple of days ago at this event, AIBC, which was full of gambling, booze, models, and all sorts of things. It was really exciting. But you were on a panel and you said you didn't think AI would come for content first, but it did.
Yeah, like I think when Web3 was being talked about, it was on top of Web 2.0. So Web 2.0 was commenting, engagement, online social networks. I thought that Web 3.0 was going to be the part where we get value now on our content.
Yeah.
You know, the token economy on top of the social networks. And it didn't really manifest in that way. And then all of a sudden now, I thought I didn't spend much time researching AI because I thought it was the coders and the scientists and machine learning. And machine learning for me was always there, right? And I always thought, like, you know, machine learning will help us with streaming because it will serve up content in different ways. When Netflix launch in different markets, they don't have Netflix UAE. You don't go on the top of the site and tell them what country you're in.
Yeah.
You don't switch channel.
Yeah.
You just jump in. And it serves you off stuff based on your interest. There's already machine learning in Netflix, just like algorithms and things like that. So, you know, a guy from Meta was interviewed from BBC yesterday on the main stage. And he said, we've been doing AI for the last 10 years. And, you know, they said their big bets, Meta's big bets are AI and the metaverse. And on AI, they said, we'll see little things like product, little features like stickers. You'll be able to ask someone, say, do a sticker of Lubna Hamdan asking someone an inspiring question, so whatever, just reporting, and then that will generate the sticker for you. So they're literally doing ChatGPT into their products and features, right? So he used a phrase of like, we want to make these functions and tools available for all our 2 billion monthly active users, right?
Yeah.
But then on the other level, they're Lambda, I think, or I should have the name right, but they're on the back end, they've got their own large language model that's got a name, and Meta are relaunching that soon as well. So they've got the consumer feature side and then the back end side. And that's the bit where I was like, the back end stuff, I was like, I'm going to let the developers figure that out.
Yeah.
And then we'll just embrace these tools as they come along. But it did come earlier for content than I thought it would. I thought it would be after other sectors first, like, you know, transport or health or finance. I didn't think generative AI would be the first time it blows up and that everyone has a touch point.
And
it caught us by surprise.
Yeah, definitely. What else caught us by surprise this morning? Bitcoin hit a 2-year high.
Yeah.
Yesterday. It's on track for its biggest 2-day rally this year. A lot of people are buying into cryptocurrency. Ether, the smaller rival, also topped $3,200 for the first time since 2022.
So let's put this in perspective, right? The original sort of Bitcoin rally was sort of $17,000, right, up until 2017, right? That's when, and then it dropped down to one or two or whatever again.
Yeah.
Then in 2020, 2021, it went up to about $70,000 as a peak, but kind of it was around 50 or 60 for a while, but it, and people, like it went literally past 17 and then kept going, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then it went back down to 16 and it's hovered on about 30-ish for about a year and a half. And now it's just on a tear, right? Slowly, quietly, no one talking about it.
Exactly.
And, you know, we I was chatting to a lady who's works for a consultancy firm in the UK yesterday, and she's, her role at the moment is in Cardano, one of the cryptos, and they're relaunching to be really about decentralized. So Cardano are the ex-Ethereum guys, and they're really going after decentralized. In the UAE, we've got exchanges. We've got 2,000 Binance employees in the UAE. There's a big conference coming up in a few weeks in Dubai. So you've got Binance and obviously FTX. There was photos last week of Sam Bankman-Fried in jail. The first mugshot, the first photos of him in jail. And, you know, FTX, there's still a lot of... what would you call it, tokens held up there,
yep,
that the regulators in the US, the bankruptcy people, are now trying to get people their money back, me included, and their tokens back out of FTX.
Yeah.
And, you know, so basically, like, the innovation is still happening in the blockchain. It's not going away, but it's just, you know, people are building and building quietly, I think.
It's quite exciting. I mean, would I ever invest, would I ever have, or do I regret not investing in cryptocurrency? Probably not. It's just so volatile. It's really hard to predict, isn't it? And you don't really know, you know, how the market is moving. I don't know.
Just like normal stocks. Like, look, like...
But stocks are still a risk as well, right? A lot of people...
Yeah, equity and trading is a risk. I think, you know, funny you say, would you ever invest in it? That was the... Any regret, Trevor Noah, she asked him on the stage the other night, and he's like, I didn't invest in crypto, in Bitcoin.
He finally said something useful, did he?
Well, he just said, yeah.
Gosh, why is he even
They gave him cake
irrelevant.
On the stage. They gave him cake on the stage for his 40th birthday.
Nice. Okay, that was nice of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not a huge fan. But we've got a lot of people speaking on stage today. We've got everyone from YouTube personalities, ambassadors, PwC, this is Qatar. Anyone in particular that you're looking forward to hearing from today? Or we didn't have time to walk around yesterday, Richard. We were working a lot.
Yeah.
Replit, Amjad Masad is on stage.
There's a nice mix. Like, there's Talabat behind us. Their local competitor in Qatar is called Sunu, S-N. So noon in the middle of an S and a U. Sununu.
Yeah.
Sunun. Ooh. Hamad Al-Hajri, he's the founder and CEO. You've got a nice mix, right? Like, you have Ayo Tometi from Black Lives Matter being interviewed by Al Jazeera. You've got VC funds on stage. Yeah, it's a nice mix. And I think it's an opportunity for us to get to know other companies that we wouldn't know, right?
Absolutely. I think on that note, we're going to leave you guys with the interview with Abdullah. Stay tuned for that. And we'll be back tomorrow. Abdullah Abu Sheikh, you've done so much. You've got a holding company, AstraTech, and then you're the CEO of Bottom. You acquired Bottom, and you co-founded Rizik app as well. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the Smashy Business show. What is the atmosphere at the Web Summit? It's all about tech, it's all about AI, and we just heard Queen Rania give a very powerful speech about Gaza. She dedicated the entire speech to that. What is the atmosphere here?
It's my first time. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. It's very energetic, a very young audience. Everybody is up to very cool things. One of the first times that I see such a diverse offering from most of the companies that are presenting and so on, and it's going beyond. I remember a few years back, most of the companies were pitching some app, sort of one or other kind of, you know, sort of variations of the same thing. Today, I'm looking at people looking at deep tech, a lot of AI, a lot of very complicated, more sophisticated platforms. It's very cool.
Yeah, and you've done some pretty cool things yourself. I mean, Bottom was used for mainly calls and video calls, and now you're turning it into what you call an ultra app. You can do everything from send remittance, and then you did a deal with MasterCard. You had how many people? 100,000 people. MasterCard said they've never had that many requests before. What did it allow them to do? It allowed them to get a debit card.
The concept and initiation was that people need to connect financially as well as they do socially, right? And in places like the GCC, where it's an outgoing remittance hub of the world, you have a lot of people who are working in this part of the world, so they're able to provide for their loved ones, their families, and so on elsewhere. And that process has been so mundane, it's been so old, it's such a brick and mortar process, where it's very difficult for most people to go through. And this is something we thought we could really fix. And with Bottom, we have people calling back their family almost on an hourly basis. And we thought, why can't I just text money back to my family the way I called them? They know how to use the platform, I know how to use the platform in such a simple way. And that was a bet that we took about a year and a half ago. Today, we're the biggest digital remittance player in terms of transaction volume and number of users. And then we started adding on top of that because we thought a lot of people also have issues with issuers. They need to spend, they receive their salaries mostly in cash or what have you. And not everyone has access to banking and to a bank account, and they're not able to get a card very quickly and so on. Today with Bottom, within 30 seconds, you can have your card ready. On your phone, you can start tapping it wherever you want and pay, which is a very powerful proposition for a lot of people. It's also cool because you can socially issue cards now. So you have your daughter, your son, your, support, your help at home. You want to issue them wallets and cards. It takes seconds to do that, while conventionally with a bank, it would take you a very long time to. So it's very empowering for a lot of people, where we come to them and we say, you've worked very hard all month. You don't really have to go stand in line at an exchange shop for hours and, stand at an ATM for, few hours just to make back your salary. And that's a big part of what we do.
It's a very familiar scene, right? Seeing people outside the remittance, companies and the ATMs. And I think it's amazing that you've solved a real problem, because a large portion of the region is unbanked, but we never really focused on and tackled that issue in the UAE. And it does exist in the UAE. But now with Bottom, I guess you're making people's lives much easier.
Of course, Lubna, and you see a big part of this part of the world lives on services. The fact that we have such an elevated lifestyle in this part of the world is due in whole, if not in a big part, to the massive infrastructure of service people.
Absolutely.
That make this living sustainable. The issue was historically, most financial technology companies or banks do not really address this category, which is 80% of the population and will remain to be bigger than the served population for a long time. So we took that challenge, head first, and I think we've done a good job so far. But we also think there is a lot of work to be done.
What kind of work is there to be done? And also, how difficult was it for you to introduce that? When it comes to regulation and, pushback from, did you get pushback from the banks?
Of course. Competition will always push back, but we're very blessed to have regulators who are willing to work with disruption. You have, two kinds of regulators generally. Some that are really scared of disruption and they just want to shut it down and close it up. But you have other regulators that understand disruption will come and they just find a way to surf it. And we're very lucky in the UAE, we have a very understanding regulator. I think a lot of other places in the GCC, Saudi, Central Bank has been very, flexible as of late. And that's been fantastic. And I think that push from the regulators will continue to drive competition, which will continue to drive higher quality services for end users.
you know what, I was just thinking of a problem that I encountered here when I was leaving the Web Summit yesterday. I wanted to get an Uber and I couldn't get an Uber, so I wanted to get a Karwa taxi, but they only accept cash and I didn't have cash. Would Bottom ever solve this problem in Qatar and elsewhere?
So maybe Qatar very soon, but we're already solving this problem in many places with our pay-by offerings, which are we're digitizing SMEs and merchants in less than an hour. So if you're a taxi driver, so we've solved this problem for Abu Dhabi Taxi. So we have more than 8,000 taxis that are powered by our technology. Historically, we'd only take cash. You can go in now and you pay with your card.
A lot of wallet. People don't know that.
If you go into any taxi in Abu Dhabi, you'll find our technology and you'll be able to pay digitally however you want.
That's amazing, because it's not just in taxis that you can't pay cash. It's flower shops, it's supermarkets. Yes. And
now we've even went into digitizing social sports. You know, a lot of people, they want to play socially, whether it's football or paddle or whatever it is, and that's usually a cash exchange.
Yes.
And nobody goes to a paddle court with a bunch of cash, you know.
Right.
You know? So now you can use Bottom to finalize that transaction. Like I said, and like you've experienced yourself, you're a user and you have a set of problems that you deal with, and the banks haven't yet looked at it. Simply because the banks are too big and too busy for this part of the world. And you need companies like us that challenge the models and that come up with those simpler solutions.
Absolutely. Any plans for crypto to be incorporated into Bottom?
Well, we don't follow the hot thing. You know, I've never built a business based on following whatever is hot or whatever is sexy that day. I know a lot of people like to do that, but I don't chase after whatever is a trend. The minute we feel our users need crypto, we'll put crypto. Our users now need not to stand in line and need to pay a taxi.
Nice.
Our users are mothers selling cookies and they need a payment gateway to be able to process that payment. And they shouldn't have to suffer and go to the bank and go through 3 to 4 weeks of paperwork.
Absolutely.
To be able to do that. I want to solve those boring problems. Maybe when my users ask for crypto, it'll be good.
Hey, I mean, I think it was Warren Buffett that said, you know, boring is where the money is or something like that.
I
paraphrase. So you acquired Bottom. It was a U.S. company.
It was a U.S. company based in the
UAE,
they're more functional in this part of the world.
Yeah, but it's great to see, you know, acquisitions happen in the region. Are you looking to acquire more companies?
We acquire solutions. We don't acquire companies. Like if you're solving a problem and there is a solution to a problem that we are facing, we'd probably come and look at the business. We don't just acquire for the sake of collecting businesses or growing a balance sheet. It's not our model.
Yep.
So we're always on the lookout for, you know, driven companies, smart talent, people who've solved the real problem. To have that conversation.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Arabic ChatGPT. I was a little birdie told me that you're looking into launching that. Explain it to me a little bit.
We've already launched it. It's in beta, actually.
And okay.
People who've tried it love it.
Nice.
It's sort of your own personal, you know, call it assistant in your Bottom, right? In your contact list.
Yeah.
The only difference is that this is not an informational GPT. This is an executional GPT, so it does things for you. It doesn't just give you information.
Okay.
If you go to Bottom, there is a lot of services you can use. Now you can pay your bills, you can renew your license, you can apply for a new license and so on. You can send money, receive money, make payments. We put all of that on a GPT where now a user has the ability to execute on a transaction. So you'll be able to text, "Hey Bottom, renew my ID," and it would do the work. "Hey Bottom, pay my bills, send my mother money, how much did my mom spend this month," and so on. You'd be able to really converse on an executional layer with it, which makes us excited about it.
I mean, I hope husbands don't have, access to their wives' Bottom accounts to ask how much their wives spend.
That's a family affair. As long as you don't give them access, you're safe. But I think it's needed. I think simplifying the experience even further is a good thing.
Definitely. Someone also told me that you said you should be worried about your jobs. AI is coming for you.
Someone paraphrased, but
someone is about to get into trouble.
Huh? No, Sam Altman went out a few days ago and mentioned that AI is going to make us 20 times more productive.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at an organization of 20 people, and one person is going to be able to produce for all 20, what are the other 19 going to do?
Right.
That becomes a question. It puts all of the existing skill sets to test. Do I really need a copywriter anymore? Do I really need someone to make slides anymore? Do I really need someone to answer the phone anymore? Someone to book appointments anymore? It challenges a lot of skill sets, which is very familiar of any technological advancement. We've seen this in the Industrial Revolution. We've seen this when the steam engine came about.
Yeah.
And it's just now we have just, there's a lot more people in the world and there's a lot more money. So it's just more exponential
right.
as a change. What's gonna happen is there's gonna be a chart, there's gonna be a curve that comes out of AI. Some people are gonna fall below the curve. And those people are going to end up more in manual labor sort of positions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are going to upskill and end up masters of technology, and they're going to use this technology to improve. So should you be worried for your job? It's not a question of your job. Your skill set might become obsolete, because if your skill set today is taking appointments, a computer can take a million appointments at the same minute in 100 different languages. It's very impossible to compete.
Yeah.
As a person, you're not going to speak this many languages, you're not going to be able to process the data as fast, and thus, should you be worried for your job? Maybe you're still going to have a job, but a computer is going to be doing most of the work. So there's always this invite when technological advancement happens for people to relook their skill sets and figure out, where do I need to position my effort?
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. But then again, there's the other side that, you know, when Emirates NBD launched, I forgot, was it Liv, the name of the robot? Or
I remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and everyone was really annoyed with that. And, you know, I get annoyed as a user. I know most of my friends get annoyed with not having that human touch. I feel like people are missing that. I do agree about developing your skills, though, to move with the times.
So you brought up Emirates NBD, not me, just for the record. But Emirates NBD does a particularly good job at launching bad things. Whether it's ENBD, what they call it, X application.
Yeah.
I have not yet met a single person that app worked for,
right.
me included. When they launched this robot, the most annoying thing in the world, I remember people were on websites publishing, you know, key bad hacks to get into the person instead of trying to talk.
Exactly.
Like press 4 zeros.
Exactly. It was a disaster.
But that wasn't AI.
Right.
That wasn't AI. That was a robot answering what we call a querying system. It's a coded system where if you press X, it says Y. If you say this, it says that. Again, if you want to go back in time and then look at the first printer, it would take a few days to print half a page.
Right.
But if somebody at that point in time said, oh, we don't need printers, the internet only 10 years ago, you couldn't watch a video online. You couldn't stream a video. And Netflix was impossible. A lot of those things didn't exist. But technology evolves. And it evolves rapidly, radically. And that's something you can't ignore.
I mean, if there's one job that you would wish that would go away, what would it be?
I don't wish for anybody's job to go away. I think everybody's job is awesome, and there is a lot of chivalry, and there's a lot of, you know, there's, you know, insane. I honestly hate it when, especially tech people, talk down on jobs and you know, entrepreneurs, and they come up with this pattern of everybody should quit their job. But no, I think there is, you know, jobs raise generations of brilliant people, and hardworking people really put in massive amounts of work into their jobs, and nobody should have any right to diminish any of that. So I don't wish for anybody's job to go away, but there are certain tasks that technology will always be able to do better, and especially redundancies. Printing was a human job at some point. Can't people forget that?
Right.
Scripting was a human labor.
One of my friend's dads actually used to do that, and he lost his job.
Could be a calligrapher, could be a scripter. They might still have work to do, but it doesn't pay whatever it used to pay. Post is still a job. Delivering the mail is still a job. But you have an invite. If you're a young person that has the opportunity to learn, and the internet is giving you immense amounts of access to be able to learn, you should look at where you should you skill yourself. You can't train yourself to be a mailman today and then be, you know, angry about why it doesn't pay so well.
Sure.
You can't train yourself to be a scripter or a calligrapher now and then, you know, be very upset about why it doesn't elevate you very well in the tech world. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But do I wish for anybody's job to go away? Never. No, I hope everybody would have jobs, and they have great jobs.
I thought you were going to say the real estate broker that keeps calling me or the social media influencer that has nothing to offer.
Maybe not the job. Maybe not the job, but the conduct.
Mm-hmm.
The conduct.
Absolutely.
Of...
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is like piece of advice for me. I've never, you know, I've sold a lot of real estate, but I'm not a real estate agent.
Yeah.
If you call someone randomly, odds are more likely they're not going to buy a house on the fly.
Yeah.
You know,
what a concept.
There's a lot of thinking that happens before people buy a coffee, you know, which is $2.50.
Yeah.
You want them to commit to buy a million dirham property over a phone call.
Exactly.
That's a very funny, I don't know whoever told people that that would work, but
you gotta admire the, you know,
persistence,
the courage,
but,
and yeah, if
but
you can call
for
it
real
that.
Estate brokers, the good news is AI can do a lot of work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can do really smart work for you. It can, you know, answer calls and give data and answer queries and promote certain properties and give prices and close deals. This is where you should be. This is where you should be focusing.
And where you should be is at the Web Summit in Qatar. It's a pleasure. It was a pleasure speaking to you, Abdullah.
Thank you.
And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Botum does next.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for
having me. Thank you.